All right, welcome to another episode of the Exchange Podcast. I'm Kevin Warmhold. Today I have a great guest, but before we get to my guest, Tony Duranzo, I just want to remind everybody we have a sponsor for the show, AmericanLiberty.biz. It's American Liberty, not with a Y, it's T-E-E. We get all types of political apparel, patriotic apparel, military apparel, and check it out. It's a great website. You get sweatshirts, T-shirts, cell phone cases, coffee mugs, whatever you're into. Also, we are on the Liberty Casting Network. We have Larry Sharp with the Liberty Rant every Friday at noon. We have the Torch News. They just had a huge episode with the VP candidate, Spike Lee. Got thousands and thousands of views right away, which is really good for them. Pace and Freedom, Commander's Table, Tough Crowd with Brett Blackham. And we have many other shows that are joining the network. Radio Free New York is associated with us as well. Tony Duranzo knows those guys pretty well up there in the Rochester area. But I want to introduce Tony Duranzo is the New York State Libertarian Party chair. And dude, I bet you didn't expect that you'd be sitting in this position a couple months ago. It was kind of like there was a resignation of the chair,
Mr. Beck,
and then you have to step in some pretty big shoes.
I do. I kind of knew it was coming, a little, I had a little bit of advance notice, but not a lot. It was like drinking from a fire hose for those first couple of weeks, trying to get a handle on all the plays he had spinning and all the things that we had going on as a party. But I so far, I think I've done a pretty decent job of it.
You know, the New York party made some real great strides, and I wish that the national platform would adopt a lot of what New York did. I mean, you put up a great gubernatorial candidate in Larry Sharp, and what he did was absolutely amazing. And he did it with a team. He comes from the business mindset, so he has that ability and that understanding. And he took that and transferred it over into his campaign and built a strong team, which you were a part of and many other people, and bringing ballot access to the state of New York. And we live in crazy times right now. I mean, look at the current events that's going on. This country is divided. You're either all the way to the left, all the way to the right, and we have no middle ground. Nobody could come together and have a conversation. If you have a conversation with somebody and it's different, I can't talk to you. Well, this is absolutely insane. What do you think, Tony?
Yeah, this is one of the reasons why I'm a libertarian, because I was never all the way over to the left or all the way over to the right. I had a whole bunch of views that were somewhere in the middle. This is one of the, if you look at the last election, the last presidential election, only about between 45 and 50% of people voted. That means that half the people who were eligible to vote in this country didn't even vote, because they didn't identify with either one of the two major party candidates, which are the only ones getting the media coverage. I think a lot of that polarization that you're seeing in society comes directly from media coverage. You either got media that's pushing the Republican view, the traditional right view, or the Democrat view, the left view. There isn't really media, except for media like this, that's pushing positions that are that are at all anywhere near centrist, or really more commonly hybrid, where a little from column A and a little from column B brings us some better liberty.
Now think about the advantage that we could take. I mean, right now, you could create your own media outlet. You could create your own podcast. You could create your own YouTube channel, and you don't need anybody. You could do it yourself. So if we take the approach and pretty much take charge and take that over and build on that, I mean, 15 years, cable TV is gone. Everything's going to be through an app or through a streaming device. You can cut out all the BS, all the management people that want to make money off your product. You do it yourself. You don't need it. So how does the Libertarian Party win that? How do we as a party focus on the future and technology to our advantage?
Well, I think in some ways we're a little late to the game, but we're doing it now. I mean, you and I are sitting here because you're doing exactly what needed to be done. You're getting a number of, I won't say like-minded, but similar-minded, liberty-minded people together to form a network, an affiliated network, where we're promoting each other and building each other up. You mentioned you have Larry Sharp on every Friday. You have a Radio Free New York. That in itself form because Andrew Hollister got himself a radio show every week that was popular and was growing and built, and then he brought other people into his network. That's how we do it. And these are some of the things that I think New York is getting right. We're starting to, there are a lot of differing views even inside the Libertarian Party. We're a big tent party, so the liberty to person A, person B, person C might look entirely different, but we're all pulling in the same direction of smaller government, more personal responsibility, more personal freedom. And we're walking the walk on that in New York, where people who may have slightly different views are still working together and pulling towards the same goal.
I think because we're just so sick and tired in New York of like how bad, I mean, people are fleeing at an astronomical rate, like 100,000 people a year leave the state of New York. I plan on myself leaving the state of New York as soon as I'm willing and able to. So in my like future plans, I'm like, look at Texas. I don't get state income tax. Why wouldn't I want to live there? Look at Florida, you know, nice weather beaches. You know, like, why would I want to stay in New York where I'm taxed like crazy? I live in Long Island. Nassau mm-hmm. County is one of the highest tax counties in the country. So why am I going to stick around here? And that, if we don't make a change, that's it. Now, you mentioned something about the Libertarian Party being a big tent party.
Yes.
And something that Larry Sharp preaches a lot on his show, The Sharp Way, which if you haven't seen, go check out The Sharp Way. It's a great show every day he's on. You have to, there's the 80-20% that he talks about, because right. we don't have to agree fully. There's a lot of people within this big tent party, and there's been a couple of times that I myself said, what am I doing? I mean, I can't, like, if you don't agree 100% with the libertarian ideology, they want to shun you. They want to, you know, how do we get away from that and focus more on the fact of we need to include people that may think a little bit different, but kind of like some target ideas. We all, I think, are sick of the military industrial complex. That's something that most of America will get behind. I was in Iraq in 2003. Okay. I could tell you, you know, in the scheme of things, that was not a necessary war. That was a war for other reasons other than what we were told. So sure. Why would we want to continue? A lot of Americans would get behind that. A lot of Americans hate high taxes. You know, there's right. certain things that the party could focus on to bring in Democrats and Republicans and independents that are sick and tired of the same thing and have them see that our party platform is inviting. Sometimes I feel like it may not be so inviting.
So, you know, I think you're actually kind of pretty close to hitting the nail on the head here. You talked about a couple of our principles. We're an anti-war party. We're a party that's against high taxation, that want to see a reduction or even an elimination of taxation. Even there's differences between what people inside the party think. By focusing on those core big things, big principles, big ticket items, and using that in our marketing, hey, come over here. We're anti-war more so than the Democrats. Hey, come over here. We're pro-2A more so than the Republicans. By focusing on things like that, where we are a better representative of the ideals in the two-party system, that's how we're going to attract people, and that's how we can retain people. By focusing on our principles and not getting into the minutiae of application of the principles. We are a party that was formed by a bunch of classic liberals and minarchists, people who wanted a smaller government. And then in the 70s, we invited the anarchist wing, the ones who want no government, the anarcho-capitalists, into our party. We're looking at liberty in different ways, but by showing that we're still pulling in the same direction and still hold a lot of those core ideals together, I think we can hold this party together and even grow it.
I think something that gets neglected is the hypocrite Democrats and the Republican Party, how hypocritical they can be. I mean, look at the fact that the Libertarian Party just nominated a female presidential candidate. Mm-hmm. I remember in 2016 that I'm with her, Hillary Clinton. And then right after she won, that I'm with her started trending. And then all the Democrats that supported Hillary Clinton were shunning her. Like, that's not her line. You can't use that. That's Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton's gone. Now we have another female candidate that could be the first ever female presidential winner in the history of this country. A great glass ceiling would get broken, and nobody talks about it. Not one network has covered it and talked about this possibility. Why?
No, we've gotten we've gotten a few fringe coverages, or maybe a little blurb. Oh, by the way, the Libertarians nominated someone today. And Joe Jorgensen, maybe not even with a picture, so you don't even realize that it's a woman. Right now, the big media, and when I talk about big media, I'm talking about cable news and, frankly, to an extension of that, newspapers, are focused on what's going to get the most eyeballs, most readers. So Fox News, I'll pick on Fox News because they have a core audience. They have a core audience of Republicans. MSNBC has a core audience of Democrats. They want to play to their core. They're not going to go out of their way to help us with a candidate that's going to cut their core in half. Hello, MSNBC. This is Joe Jorgensen. Yes, he's with you on war and on marriage equality, but she's pro-2A. That's the type of thing that doesn't play well on a media that's so polarized. I keep coming back to that word, but that's what it is right now. We don't have your cable news outlets aren't centrist media. It's the smaller and up and coming networks like yours, like the YouTube networks, but also even on cable, you've got networks like Archie and that are covering our candidates a little bit better, that aren't necessarily tied to one party or another.
I think getting people to trust LP is key. Getting them to trust that the Libertarian Party is something that needs to be focused on. But how do you do that with I'm going to use the example of you're looking for employment. You put out your resume, mm-hmm. You know, anytime you put out a resume, they want, you know, a master's degree, bachelor's degree, whatever. But always in there, they also want 5 years experience, you know. So like when you're looking for a job, you're competing against other people that are experienced. We as a party, the Libertarian Party, is fighting to get recognized with no track record of here's our accomplishments. We have 7 elected representatives in this state. Here's our accomplishments. Look at what they've done. Look at the libertarian utopia and how it actually works. We can't show people what the Libertarian Party is, what they can do if we have a right. How do we get people to trust the party without a record?
No, I think you're right. We've done a poor job marketing our victories. I say we're going to get people into our party with our principles, but we're also going to get people into our party by showing that we have had victories, and we have. In New York, New York's kind of a unique state in how we nominate here, in that we can have fusion candidates, so candidates who are on multiple lines, multiple ballot lines. Most states don't have that. But even if you took fusion out, we had several big victories in this state. We have, and I say big victories, we did get a district attorney victory in one of our counties. We got, and just running on the Libertarian line, no other lines. He ran as himself, as a candidate. We had a town clerk in Western New York who won. We had several town board members win election. We need to start screaming those victories from the rooftops. We have a county supervisor and a mayor in California. Most people don't know these things. Most people now know that we're lucky that for now we have a congressman in Justin Amash. Which
he's going to have to fight this year to hold, because he's going to be primary. He's running against now a Republican and a Democrat, so it's a 3-way race.
It is. He's got name recognition, so that helps him. And so I'm crossing my fingers that he holds on to that. I don't know. I think we haven't mentioned this yet, but I'm also a candidate for LNC chair. And one of the things that I think we need to prioritize as a party is helping him and helping him have some colleagues, come November. We have several congressional candidates in this state alone. Several of whom are running competitive races. Several of whom are running active campaigns and are getting media coverage locally.
Let's talk about that. You are running for national chair for the Libertarian Party.
Yes, I am.
You are the current New York chair. tell us a little bit what you've done with New York and what your vision is for the National Party. You know, we've discussed some of the problems, some of the solutions, some of the growth that needs to happen. How do you do that as the LNC chair?
So, sorry, Kevin, I you cut out there for a minute and I didn't hear the question.
So you're the New York Libertarian chair currently. You're running for the national chair. Explain how your experiences at the state level can transition to the national level, how what your vision is for the national party and how you help to grow the party in general. And we lost him. You there?
I'm coming back now.
Gotcha.
I don't know whose end that was that died there. It might have been mine, might have been yours. I don't know, but I'm back.
You're back. Did you get the question?
So you're looking at, go on, re-ask.
Yeah. You are the New York State chair currently. What have you done as a New York State chair that could be beneficial to the national platform when you're running for LNC chair?
Well, there are several major issues that have hit the party in the last few months. The first issue is that we had to make some changes to our rules. And they've been kind of languishing for a while. These changes that we had to make had been sitting out there. I made them happen, and we have a fresh set of rules in place that protects our counties for the time being until we get to the permanent ballot access. The second thing that I've done is we're having a bit of a ballot access. As you may know, Governor Cuomo put in the budget some provisions that make it much harder for a third party to retain ballot access, which were punitive against the Working Families Party. It wasn't personal to us, but it still impacts us. So we are currently working on filing a lawsuit in New York, in federal court, in the Southern District of New York to fight against the provisions that he's put in place, and I've made that a priority. The third thing is there's been somewhat of a divide between if you split the Libertarian Party at the Hudson, and those east of the Hudson, those west of the Hudson really weren't communicating well at all.
I may have some insight on.
Yeah. I'm not assigning blame.
No, I know. It's two different set of ideas of how the party should move forward, and it should be open to a healthy debate.
Agreed. And I, without speaking ill of our past state chair, who I think did a fine job, he did a lot of things well. One thing that he didn't do well was open that dialogue. There was such acrimony between between Western New York and Long Island, really, that there was support that wasn't getting to Long Island. There were bad blood coming back the other way. I've had conversations with several of those of the people involved, and we're in a better place. We're a more unified party than we were 2 months ago. And so let's
I think that's something that could be brought to the national platform. The national platform needs to be unified in order for this party to ever move forward and be a strong party to compete with the big money Republicans and big money Democrats. There needs to be a unified front. That's something that we are currently lacking.
100% correct. And the LNC does a lot of good work. They really do. There's a lot of great people on the LNC, and specifically surrounding our convention, which was supposed to happen in May, is now scheduled to happen in about a week and a half in Florida. And so we're still experiencing all this. And there are some very differing opinions about what we should do about our convention, whether or not we should have a convention. Should we have an online component? Should we not have an online component? And where it came to a head for me, and ultimately why I'm sitting here, I'm talking about this, is they had a meeting on May 9th, which was mostly public. For the first 2 hours of the meeting, there was public comments that were, we need to not be afraid of the government. We need to be careful. I'm not coming to whatever convention you have because it's dangerous. we need to push forward no matter what. And then we got into the presentations for alternate locations because it wasn't going to happen in Austin. Austin said Austin wasn't able to host us anymore. And ultimately, they decided on Orlando after about 7 hours to debate. It shouldn't have taken 7 hours to debate. There was a lot of acrimony. There's not a lot of communication. There in that particular meeting, there were people trying to obstruct other people from making motions. There's poor communication when it comes to stuff like that. I get everybody was really passionate about it. They needed to be passionate about it. They needed to be heard. But the party came out of that meeting, the whole party, because this was broadcast on YouTube. You can still see it. The whole party came out of that meeting disgusted with our leadership because it was poorly controlled. Now, fast forward to when we did have our online convention, which, you know, there were people being dilatory, and that's what happens at conventions. People will hog the mic and hijack motions and all sorts of fun stuff. So in general, it went a little slower than usual, but fine. Until about the last hour and a half, and then it devolved because our chair made a statement
and walked off the camera.
But yeah. He didn't actually walk away from the meeting because he tried to get involved and participate after handing the gavel off. Mm-hmm. And I understood why he wanted to hand the gavel off, but he didn't do that in a way that. I've actually been somewhat of a fan of Nick Sarawarki. He generally runs a great meeting. If you have seen either of the conventions he chaired, he did a fantastic job. He really did. He's been a good media presence.
He's gotten some coverage on MSNBC. He's been on the Morning Joe show quite a few times. So he's as the Libertarian Party chair. I can't even speak right now.
Okay.
As a Libertarian Party chair, he got some major, that's a major network. So for him to get on there, kudos to him. That is something that I, for a long time, was kind of like disappointed that there wasn't enough. And I was a little critical of the vice chair and other people within the party for not trying to get on TV all the time to help, you know, but it's only if the media allows you in. And right. I think the only reason why he was allowed in is because it was just like a middle ground to discuss certain issues that were divisive and have somebody else come in. And it worked. It brought some attention to the party. Has the party grown in the past year or two?
We grew after the presidential election in 2016. We've been somewhat flat until the last few months when there was a huge membership push that came from the presidential candidates to bring more membership into the party. But our fundraising is down as a party. The members we have are not necessarily members that are writing the big checks to the party. That we need to focus on our membership as a national party. And I think media appearances like that help. I would argue, it's not entirely the chair's job to do that. Yes, the chair is the figurehead of the party and the primary representative of the party, especially in times that you're not thinking about candidates. But I would love to see our congressional candidates and our Senate candidates and our presidential candidates get those media opportunities, not necessarily the chair. They need it more. And they're the ones that are out in the public representing us. And that's how we're going to grow our party. Yeah, it's great that our chair is on MSNBC. I don't want to discount that. That is a fantastic achievement. But it would be greater if we could get Joe Jorgensen on MSNBC.
Getting people on the debate stage is a big thing during election time. That's a huge
help. It is.
My father-in-law lives in Chicago. It was from Chicago. There was a gubernatorial race the last time with Cash Jackson, who was a Libertarian candidate. He was able to get up on the debate stage against the two, Pritzker and the incumbent at the time. And he made an impact on my follow and other people were impressed by what they heard from him. But, you know, who's the Libertarian Party? How can they win? So, there's that opportunity that we need to consistently see people on the debate right. stage debating against it, because some of the policies, everyone's like, makes sense. When you actually hear the policies, you say, that sounds really good. But then there's the but comes in, and it's always a but. You know, if I don't vote for Biden, Trump will win. If I don't vote for Trump, Biden will win. So, like, how do we, you know, you as the chair of the party, how do you, what changes you bring to as far as marketing and recruitment and fundraising? Because money is a bit, money to me is the biggest issue with this party, is having the money to pay for ads, for pay, to get on TV, to get on the debate stage. Because if you need to raise a lot of money, Joe Jorgensen's going to need to raise a ton of money to even qualify oh, yeah. for a debate. So yeah. how do we do that for her?
So so you brought up an awful lot of issues, and frankly, as chair, there's a lot of plates I need to keep spinning at the same time that will all kind of fuel each other. The one of the first things you mentioned, fundraising. We've lost a lot of big, high impact donors over the past 4 years as a party nationally. We need to personally reach out to them and get them back. They didn't leave and stop giving to us because their values changed. They left and stopped giving to us because we had people embarrassing us in public, and we need to minimize the public embarrassments as we go forward. So reaching out to those lapsed big ticket donors is going to be job one for me. To a certain extent, the campaign should be doing that too. But since the campaign and the party will share a lot of data, I'm certainly going to help the campaign with that. I mentioned it earlier. I would focus external marketing on our principles and not so much on specific applications of our principles. Throw open the doors of that big tent so the Democrat and Republican ivory towers can see the doors from the top floors. I want to make sure that we are seen as the opening party of principle that will let you in if you are aligned with us in Liberty. That's really what we need to do to grow our membership. That's the marketing that we need to do.
Is education something? Because, like, I feel like when I talk to somebody and you hear Libertarian Party, I think you're super liberal and they want nothing to do with you. If you're a conservative mm-hmm. person, you're gonna like, you're a libertarian. That's liberal, you know. And then you have to explain, right. no, this is the idea. Like, you know, you're open to this and individual freedoms, and you know, we're protecting your constitutional rights. And then after a while, like, you get into the actual ideas, it's like, okay, actually, that's what most of America would agree with. How do we educate, get that idea to them as a part, like as a chair of a party?
I mean, as chair of a party, my elevator speech better be pretty good. It's because when I'm talking to people, when I'm talking to media, I might only have 20 seconds to convey that. So that's what I can do. I can also direct the party to focus our marketing on and I say we're going to focus on principles, and some of that is going to be that quick elevator speech soundbite. We can put this on a bumper sticker type thing, but some of that's got to be in longer form, such as videos. So I would direct our marketing team to put together an education series. Use some of our more prominent libertarians. Have Larry Sharp do a video talking about Second Amendment rights. Have Arvind Vora do a video on educational freedom. Two examples of mm-hmm. Of people who have been kind of leading in those fields across the spectrum, and start putting those up on the LP YouTube channel. Start utilizing our social media not just as the soundbite tool, but also as an outreach tool. Right now, we're in a time when most of the country, the outreach events that we would go to and at local and state levels aren't happening. All these county fairs, all these festivals in New York. Mm-hmm. I live in Rochester, so we have literally three festivals a weekend over the summer, and none of them are happening. They've all been canceled. So now what does the local party do for outreach? Well, now we have to rely on our social media, rely on town halls and meetings and educational sessions. Yeah, we have to lean on the technology, and we have to lean on digital marketing. And And a lot of the marketing that this party has done and a lot of the fundraising this party has done has been traditional fundraising. I'm sure you, as a member of the Libertarian Party, you've gotten a fundraising letter from the party, and you've probably gotten a few fundraising emails too. But there are other ways to do fundraising. There are ways to campaign that aren't just a letter from the executive director. There are
I think some of the ideas that we utilize are probably about 20 years old, you know, like the email reach, like, you know, and a lot of members of the party, there was a big increase in youth with the gubernatorial election that Larry Sharp ran. A lot of younger people got involved here in New York State. Me, myself, I wasn't involved at all until I saw a couple of videos of him in his campaign. I watched him on Joe Rogan. Then I saw him at the airport in Chicago, and you know, he was very nice, came over and actually engaged with me, and I was impressed. And then from that point forward, I started getting involved, and I joined, and I, you know, did whatever I could. So, like, you know, like something like that, you know, engagement is the key word that I like to use. Continue and engage and utilize the new technology and new methods that are out there, Facebook ads and so on and so forth. How could the party do that?
Yeah, I mean, so we talk about our chair and how he's. We've talked a lot about the external outreach here, but we haven't talked too much about the internal outreach because we need that too. We have a chair that's done a pretty good job as a parliamentarian, pretty good job of running meetings and pretty good job of running meetings and great job of running conventions. I cannot speak well enough about that, but. Direct access to the chair has been poor. One of the things I would do as chair is I would have periodic, and I haven't decided what periodic looks like yet, town halls where AMAs come talk directly to the chair. Larry's accessibility should have taught us a lot about outreach. The candidates that do best are the ones that are most accessible to the constituents. Gary Johnson was somewhat accessible to the voters. He traveled everywhere. He shook hands. He took the time to talk to people. Larry Sharp sat in diners and had his runny eggs with voters, whether it be two or three voters or two or 300 voters, depending on where he was. And I've been in both of those, diners. They're very different experiences. That type of access, that type of direct communication is important, especially to the party members in retaining them. It's so much easier to retain somebody than it is to go get a new person. We know that from employment. We know that from business. We know that from politics. Because of what we've seen, and we've seen it strongly in this state. You also mentioned earlier about how Larry ran this, ran his campaign like a business, and he did to a large extent. Our party is also a business. We have a headquarters in Virginia, and that business has an executive director who is the manager of them, and that executive director reports directly to the chair of the party. Looking at the executive office, trying to reduce our costs, reduce our overhead, and do more with the resources that we have so we can get ourselves more resources will also be a focus of my tenure.
I want to talk about outreach to the inner city.
Okay.
Inner city has they have a huge dependability on government.
Okay? They
a lot of people that live in the inner city are dependent on government subsidies, welfare, Section 8. There's that disconnect that there is an ability as you, as an American, to have ownership of property, to have ownership of guns. Inner city laws, administrative codes prevent people from ever getting out of that. Now, me, I live in Section 8 housing. I'm in the city. I can't practice my constitutional right to carry a firearm to protect myself in a dangerous neighborhood. So my question is, how do you reach those people and show them, listen, you have been lied to. They keep you dependent on government so that every 4 years or 2 years, depending on the race, I could say to you, I'm here to help you. I'll continue to give you what you need to just get by. Where there's, hey, listen, you have the ability and the freedom to have the American dream, to be able to own property, to buy a house, to move outside the inner city, to buy a house in the city if you want, that start a business. How do you get to those people and show them that the Libertarian Party is the way?
I can tell you how I've done it as a candidate and how I think the party can apply it. I ran a congressional campaign 4 years ago myself. And one of the things that I did was I did outreach in downtown Rochester, which is a lot of what you said, dependent on government, high unemployment rates, low legal firearm ownership, a lot of Section 8 housing. And I talked to a lot of people who identified as Democrats because they thought the Democrats were going to be the ones helping them. And having those conversations directly is perfect. And I encourage every single candidate who has any portion of their district is an urban area to do that themselves, because you're not going to know that these things exist and what it actually looks like until you walk in downtown Rochester, or you walk in downtown Buffalo or downtown Chicago. You know, you're not going to know that exists. From a national standpoint, I think a lot, especially a lot of state parties, have been, for example, showing up at a lot of the Black Lives Matter protests. I've seen a lot of libertarians showing up and having those conversations there. It's not so easy right now to do that, to do that outreach. And I look for any of our members of color to write to me and let me know what you want to see for outreach. Once again, I'm all about that direct contact, and I'm never going to claim I have all the answers, because I don't. What outreach would work in that particular circumstance? These are the things that I've done and I'm willing to do, and I would encourage our candidates and our state affiliates to do. What ideas do you have?
And this is going to roll into my next question, exactly what you just pointed on. We lack diversity in this party. We need to be more diverse. There are a lot of people that really could utilize some of our principal ideas if we hit them direct and bring them into the party. It may not seem so welcoming to somebody who is a person of color. How do you get them to feel comfortable coming in?
I think we have a population in our party, and I'm not going to say they're the majority, but they are a vocal minority who are very adamant about not seeing color. And I don't know that that's the healthiest attitude, because you've kind of hit upon it. The majority of our party are white males, mm-hmm. White suburban males at that. The women in the party are starting to grow, so we're getting more women in the party. We're starting to see people of color join the party. We're seeing the Hispanic population especially grow in the party. We haven't run a lot of black candidates. I know there have been more. I can think of maybe four off the top of my head that we've run, one of whom is Larry Sharp. We haven't done a very good job in.
Will you commit now as a chair, sure, party candidate to, mm-hmm, make that part of your goal to increase diversity within the party?
Absolutely. I'm going to focus a lot of our marketing efforts and a lot of our outreach efforts to underrepresented communities in the party, which would be minority communities and women.
Okay, good. I want to finish up with this idea. The sure. people who support AOC, Bernie Sanders movement, the people who are sick and tired of crony capitalism, big government, okay? Mm-hmm. A lot of their goals are very similar to libertarian goals. The fact that we do live in a crony capitalist society without a question. A lot of the influence in Washington, and me personally, I believe that this is the fact that you could be a sitting senator and there's no term limits, or a sitting congressman and there's zero term limits. So you are entrenched in the lobbyist, you know, mentality in DC, where there's a lot of money that gets shifted hands behind closed doors without question. Everybody knows this. People in America know that there is a lot of corruption involved. So I could get on board with the Bernie idea of the crony capitalist society. I get it. But we want more of a true free market society where the government is not in the equation at all. I think that their goal is to get health care for everybody, but to utilize more government to do it. I think their goal of ending capitalism is to, you know, it's crony capitalism, is to get more government involved. I think that's the wrong idea, to get more government involved, because how do we, you're increasing the hold on the people. This is a nation, a constitutional republic that is run by the people, not by government. Government is supposed to be a service, not, you know. So how would you reach to those voters, the people who support, because Bernie had a huge movement. AOC has a very, very good platform. She just won her primary again. So how do you reach to those voters and say, listen, we want the same thing, but our way is the better way. Here's how we do it. How do you get those people?
Well, the first thing we need to do is we need to focus on where our platforms are similar. When I was running for Congress, and I would be inevitably asked, hey, what do you think of Bernie Sanders? My answer was always the same. He seems like a righteous guy who needs an economics textbook. Mm-hmm. And I stand by that. I think his ideas, his anti-war stance is solid and very much aligned with the libertarian stance. He actually holds views that aren't far off from libertarianism. When we get to the economic issues, we need to make sure that we avoid any sort of inflammatory imagery. I've seen this show up in two ways. The first being dismissive, which I like to call the helicopter meme. Okay, well, we're going to take you socialists, we're going to throw you out of a helicopter. And that's a reference to Pinochet, who was a dictator in Chile, who really did that. And also, oh, you're just a bunch of Marxists, or you're a bunch of Leninists or Stalinists. Stay away from that. Because all that's going to do is put up walls and put up barriers. Talk through the economics of it with them. And not everybody's going to be swayed by this. Show countries that have a socialized healthcare system and show where the weaknesses are. I point to Canada. It's the closest example. They don't have a fully socialized healthcare system. We think they do, but they don't. They have a healthcare system that is this much, but our healthcare system is this much. And their healthcare system costs this much, and ours costs this much. Blue Cross, Blue Shield, those companies exist in Canada. Why would they exist in Canada if the socialized healthcare was so great? We need to focus on, especially in that particular case, quality of care and the economics of the situation.
And you hit it right there, quality. That's the thing. Just because something's free or provided by the government doesn't mean it's quality. I am a veteran. I've been through the VA healthcare system. Okay. The VA healthcare system is free to veterans. If you have something that needs to get checked, you can go to a VA hospital. Guess what? Quality is shit. It ain't quality healthcare. So there's some good doctors there. I'm not blatant kid. I don't like using the broad brush approach. Everybody there that works there is, you know, they try to do, but it's run by the government. So take that, multiply it by 360 million people, and there you go. You got government-run healthcare. Quality is something, and having a maybe competitive, like I like to utilize, okay, if you want to have a government option, but don't force me into it, but that could be a competitive option where that could bring prices down as well. Why don't we look at that platform? You know, and you use Canada as an example. People have come from Canada to New York or to Michigan to get an operation.
Absolutely.
It's available. Mm-hmm. That's not always available. You have to wait in a list. Is that correct?
They're especially for elective stuff. You know, I pick on Canada a little bit. Their healthcare is not that bad, but it's not that bad because it's really not as socialist as we think it is. Mm-hmm. It just kind of looks socialist. I'm glad you brought up the VA too. That's because I'm assuming you live pretty close to a VA center. Am I correct?
Yeah.
If you don't live close to a VA hospital, now you gotta go either drive 12 hours to get to a VA hospital, or you have to go through the choice program, which, correct me if I'm wrong, wait times are worse there than they would be if you walked in the door to hospital.
Yeah. The way the system is set up, me as a veteran, it would be beneficial to me if I'm able to utilize my own doctor here in town and the government would just pay for it because, listen, you sent me off to war, you know, it's going to cost you. I'm sorry, you know, but I could utilize my own doctor. If you got to pay for it, great. But, you know, when it comes to the competitive, I don't mind there being a government option as long as it's competitive and I'm not forced into the option. That's all. And I think that's somewhere where we could kind of meet in the middle with some of the Bernie Sanders people and kind of present that as an idea.
Frankly, that's some of the Democrat candidates had that exact same idea. It's not an unheard of party on the, it's not an unheard of concept on the left. Well, fine, have Medicare available if you want it or need it, but have the ability to go, be competitive.
And I think, you know, what we present a lot is choice, having choice. You as a libertarian, you want choice. You don't want to be forced into anything. We do not, you know, as a party, do not believe in force to get an end result. I want to wrap up with this last thing. Okay, I'm an outside voter. I'm looking to vote. How do you get me to switch my party to become a libertarian and start working with the Libertarian Party? Reach out to me, get me hooked, get me involved.
I start having a conversation with you. I find out what's important to you and what your views are. And then I show you how our platform really is the best way to get to the end results that you see. We're a big tent, and our liberty can be applied very broadly. It's not a small little niche concept. It's a big, easy sell. All you have to do is listen to voters and know what they care about.
I want to thank you very much, Tony, for coming on. You are the candidate for Libertarian National Committee Chair. Listen, I've seen what you've done here in New York since you've taken over. I've been impressed. I'm glad that you have the open across the Hudson to us downstaters, as we like to call downstate, upstate, you know.
Yep.
Listen, I myself, within the last month, have probably jumped in and out of the party mentally, like whether or not I'm going to stay involved or come back. And, you know, like I needed some time to think and kind of take a break with everything that's going on and divisiveness and labels and broad brush approach to everything. And, you know, I needed to, you know, but I feel confident with you as the chair that the state party's in good hands, and I am committed to, you know, helping you as far as the national. I think you definitely deserve to be in the debates on the national, whether it's in person or online, however the convention's going to go. I would like to hear what you have to say against the other candidates. And as a delegate / alternate delegate, it's something that I will definitely have in consideration for you. 100%, I support you. And I think other members who are eligible to vote should support you as well. I want to just remind everybody that is listening to this podcast, if you're listening to the audio on Apple Podcast or Google Podcast, make sure you hit that subscribe button, give a rating, give us a comment. We love to read the comments. And also, if you are into more libertarian content or liberty-minded content, doesn't have to be libertarian specifically, go to LibertyCaster on Facebook, Instagram, join, follow Twitter, and check out some of the other programs that we have here. I want to thank Tony DeRazzo again. Also, don't forget to check out AmericanLiberty.biz for patriotic apparel. And, you know, that there is a campaign that is running on that website to stop stupidity, end the duopoly. It's a campaign that they're running to end the duopoly, get rid of the two parties, and get another option in there. So check it out. Pretty good stuff. Tony, thank you. Anything else you want to say before you go to the voters?
If you are an LNC delegate, go to tony4chair.com. That's Tony, the number 4chair.com. And you can see my platform, and that's where I'll have my schedule of events. And you can reach directly out to me. That contact forms comes directly to me. It doesn't go to anybody who's working for me. And so I'm the one answering.
All right, very good. You get a open door policy with Tony Duranzo. If you are a Libertarian member, you get to ask him how this party will move forward and get personal. And hopefully you are very successful in your election next month. Thank you very much. And also, are you running again for Congress this time around? Or I know there's other candidates up there by Rochester. You want to give a shout out real quick?
Yeah, sure. I can give a shout. I'd love to give a shout out to a few of them. Kevin Wilson is running in NY25, and he's the Monroe County Libertarian Party chair as well. And he's fantastic. He's a much better candidate than I was. We've got Dwayne Whitmer running in the 27th congressional district, which is the Buffalo area. We've got Victoria Alexander running in the Hudson Valley, a little bit closer to you, not quite that far. We have several candidates running in this city, and I think we even have one running on Long Island, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, we have a senator candidate who won his primary state senate for John Gunther. He's running down here in Long Island.
Yeah, he's been running a great campaign. We have a ton of candidates running around the state for assembly. Go to lpny.org/candidates and you can see the whole list.
All right, Tony, thank you very much for coming on, and I appreciate it. Great talk, and good luck, man.
Thank you.
Hey guys, I hope you enjoyed that video. Subscribe to the show, like it, and comment. Also, if you want the audio version because you're traveling, you're in a car, and you can't watch it, you don't have time to watch the episodes, you could go in the show notes. There is a link provided. Stitcher, iTunes, iHeartRadio, whatever your pleasure may be, join me and listen via the audio versions on those other platforms, okay? But I really like YouTube. I like the way it's working out. And if you can subscribe, the more subscribers, the better the content I can provide you, and it costs you nothing. So I appreciate it. Thanks, guys. I'll see you next time.